Diane keeping track of these things reminded me that this was our 33rd anniversary. She put that in the prayer letter, which prayer list, which reminds me of your one with.
You say it's your 33rd anniversary.
Of the church.
Okay.
Of the church.
Yeah, that was when they got married.
It's the 33rd anniversary of the church. We've been doing this. Uh-huh. It's been going on for 33 years. Uh-huh. And God's been faithful for 33 years. And I was just reflecting on that a little bit this week, and I was just going to say a couple words and then get back into Galatians, and then more and more started filling my brain, and now I've got things all scribbled all over a sheet of paper here. I probably won't get them all or even see them all, but go back and talk a little bit about some of those things. 33 years ago, but you know, it really started earlier than that. Well, the Lord saved me as a young man. Well, he saved you all at some point in time, hopefully. Drew you to himself. But it was earlier than that, really, if you want to take it back. In eternity past, in that everlasting covenant between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Which boggles at least my little pea brain. But I can go back, and the Lord saved me as a young man. I thought he had called me to preach, but I kind of rebelled against it and went my own way through high school and college and 8 years in the Marine Corps, most of the 8 years anyway. But the Lord brought me back. And after he brought me back to walking as I ought, or at least somewhat as I ought, then he kind of said, you know, you still need to go preach. And well, I was a Marine Corps officer. I didn't think I was going to be doing that. But so I resigned my commission, went off to seminary, and ended up going through three of those before I could find one I could even stomach long enough to graduate from. And I grew in conflict there. And that's the way the Lord works with some of us anyway, maybe as hard-headed people. But I learned more outside of class than I ever learned in class at seminary, trying to prepare to answer, in some cases, I mean outright infidels, at least at some of the seminaries I was at, and to take them on. But the Lord was faithful through that. He taught me and allowed me to grow. And he taught my wife with me and brought us along together. If he hadn't brought us along together, we wouldn't be here. He taught us together, brought us along together, and knitted our hearts together and our hearts to him and his truth. By the time I finished seminary, I've gotten worse over the years, but by the time I finished seminary, I was already so on the extremes of churchianity that though I candidated at a couple churches, and a couple of them said, oh, we would like you except for this doctrine or for that doctrine. Well, I can't change those things. So we ended up, I believe the Lord called us to start back a new work there in my hometown of Homestead. The Lord was faithful there. We started in our house, just a real little tiny house, just a few people. And we met at the Berkshire School, rented a classroom at the Berkshire School, rented a place at one of the old closed down motels for a while. And then I found a place in town. It was an old florist shop, which had actually been an old home. And it was kind of in shambles, an old cracker house up on those concrete pedestals, and you could look up and see the sky, and you could look down and see the ground. And when I told my folks I thought we ought to buy that, they thought I was crazy. But the Lord was faithful, and we worked, and we had that building livable, functionable. And then the Lord took it away in Hurricane Andrew, and went back to beating our home for a while, and most of our folks were hither and yon, and So we ended up looking to where we should go on. And by that time, Pruffling moved up here to UF, and he couldn't find any place to go to church. And there are not too many folks as crazy as we are around, you know that. But he couldn't find a place else to go to church. And he said, well, at least look around up here. And making a long story short, you know, the Lord brought us here. And I think gave us just the place he wanted us to have. And, you know, we've been bigger. We've not been much smaller. We only got 3 members right now, actually. But here's what the Lord said. You know, there's some folks, I don't know where they get it from. They want to go back to the Jewish practice that, well, you had to have like 10 folks to start a synagogue. That's not in the Bible anywhere. But our Lord says in church context, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name. And that's speaking of a covenanting together. It's speaking of the church. I mean, we love to have more folks, but he's talking about the church itself. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then he talks about church discipline. So he's talking about the church. So I think I'll take the Lord's word instead. And long as there's 2 or 3 of us, by his grace, I hope that we can just keep on going. And maybe he'll give us more, maybe he'll give us less. I've never asked anybody to join this church. I've never twisted anybody's arm, and I never will. In fact, in some ways, folks might think I discourage folks, because I say, it's serious business, you know. This is what we believe. This is what we stand for. And you ought to know and understand these things. And Brother Hal, he visited here, I don't know how many years, before he finally said, what does it take to join this outfit anyway? And not that we didn't want to have him, but we didn't want him unless the Lord wanted him here. And so that's kind of been our philosophy, and the Lord's brought us along this way. And I thank the folks, our members, and I thank our visitors, whether frequent or infrequent, that are here. They're here because they want to be here, you know, not because we had some program or because we got, flashing lights and smoke and mirrors but because they want to be here. And that does my heart good to think on that. And often when anniversaries like this approach, and when other times when I reflect back on God's faithfulness, I think upon a passage of scripture that I've shared and reflected upon before, and I didn't go back to any of my old notes, so this might be fresh, I don't know. I can't remember what I say from week to week, much less from year to year, so I'm not sure you all do either. So maybe that's a good thing. But I'll often reflect on Jacob's return. After, you know, he had to flee from his brother, and he's gone many years, and he returns, and he's kind of fearful of meeting his brother Esau, because he hadn't already always done him just exactly right, at least from the human perspective. And Jacob says unto God, in a verse in 32, Genesis 32:10, before he meets with his brother Esau, he says unto God, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I become 2 bands. Jacob was like, just wow, you know. I went across the Jordan with this stick. That's all I had. And now you've blessed me with family and herds and possessions. And I often feel like that, you know. I've said before, I oftentimes feel like, you know, God's spoiled child. When I look about me, and it's like, I don't deserve this. And you know what? I don't. And that's what Jacob said here. He says, I am not worthy. You know what we call that in theological terms is total hereditary depravity. Jacob was dead in trespasses and sin. He was dead. He wasn't worth anything. There was nothing in him that would cause God to choose him. Total hereditary depravity. Unconditional election. I'm not worthy. I didn't do anything to make myself commendable to you. And so we see the sovereignty of God. And as we reflect on that, we think about, here's Jacob coming back to meet his brother, Esau. Remember what the scriptures have to say about those two? They're an instruction to all of us. Over in Romans 9, Paul wrote this, and I'll begin in verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. I said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Whoa. Total depravity. Unconditional election. It wasn't anything in Jacob worth his election or making him worthy. Jacob says here as he speaks to God, I'm not worthy. And yet God's sovereign grace, he chooses whom he will. I don't know why. You know, this side of glory we'll never know. And you know what I think? We won't even know then. This was something in the mind of God and his determination and why. Why did he choose me and not another? Why did he choose that old murderer, Saul of Tarsus and persecutor of the... I don't know. That's the point of it. That's what Paul says. Before they were born, they hadn't done any good or bad. God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so God chose his people, and he makes it manifest in time. I don't know who they are. I said, Saul of Tarsus, I wouldn't have thought was one, but he was. And that, I'm sure, could be said of all of us. Jacob says back here in Genesis, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies. God's mercy. Without God's mercy, we perish. God's mercy, his unmerited favor, his unmerited blessings. God's mercy, God's sovereign grace that is bestowed upon his people through nothing that we do. And not because you walked an aisle, because you prayed a prayer. It's not because you did anything. Jesus Christ said, it is finished. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then, after, and in the light of his redemption, God regenerates his elect. He gives them life. He opens their eyes and their hearts and their understanding. He gives them gifts of repentance and of faith that they might hear and embrace the gospel of their salvation. And he brings those whom he's chosen as his bride to identify with his local churches, I believe. And it's all of grace. It's not through anything we do. So, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. You can't do anything. It's all of him. But it's manifested in time by those things that he brings us to and to understand. God's mercies, his church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the people. It's not this fancy building or any fancy building. It's not the fanciest cathedral in the world. That's not it. It's his people. So Jacob says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies And he says, and of all the truth which thou hast showed thy servant. Remember what we've been studying over in Galatians? It goes throughout Scripture. I can show it to you, but, you know, about any place in Scriptures. But not us, it's God. Jacob says, of all the mercies and truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Jacob then said, all that truth that I came to understand, that I studied so hard and I comprehended, and I was able to understand in my own intellect. No, all the truth which thou showed me, which you have shown me. What did God tell, or what did the Lord tell Peter? We've talked about so many times before. When he said, who folks say that I am? Peter said, oh, they say you're this, they say you're that, and whatever. He says, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood have not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So of all the truth which you have showed me, God does it. It's unto the servant, the one that was chosen from before the foundation of the world. And we think of the truth that the Lord's pleased to teach, to show his people. You know, I think he showed all those that are his. He shows Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ reveals himself to his own. And it's manifested in time. In John 14, the Lord said, in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way and the truth. The truth is revealed unto his people, and that truth is Jesus Christ. As we were studying Galatians, and Paul reflected upon that, and elsewhere in Scriptures, where Abraham saw the day of Christ. He may not have had the full understanding that the Lord's been pleased to show us. He didn't have the completed Scriptures. But Abraham saw the day of Christ. Moses counted the riches of Christ, abundantly above those of Egypt. There's been but one way. And that way is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Lord said in John 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm thankful for the truth that the Lord has been pleased to reveal to us. I don't claim to understand all truth, or to comprehend all truth, or to know all things. I know that I don't. I'm thankful that the Lord's been pleased over the years to reveal to me more and more of what I understand, and he's allowed me to understand to be his truth. So many things. The comfort that comes from as the Lord brings us to understand more fully the doctrines of grace and his sovereignty, that salvation is all of God. That's what Jonah said. Jonah knew that. Salvation is of God. It's not anything I did. No, did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? No, you can't. But he did the right thing on Calvary's cross for all his people. You know, as the Lord was pleased to teach the doctrines of grace and that one that we all kicked against the most, of particular redemption, or what they call limited atonement. But that's usually the last one you embrace, because I can't do that. It's like, because I was raised up saying, he died for everybody. He was trying to save everybody. And he didn't. And he failed? And he had a redemption that didn't redeem? No. That redemption was particular. And it did exactly what he intended it to. What the angels say, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm not saying if everybody doesn't understand all these things that they're not one of the Lord's redeemed. these things sometimes we don't come to for a while. But I'm going to say this, no one really experiences the peace that passes understanding till they understand God's sovereign grace. As long as they think that, I had to do something, or I did something, maybe I did, and I was, they're never going to find peace. They're never going to find peace. But if he did it, let me tell you this, it's done. What a wonderful thing. And the Lord's been pleased to teach us those things. And the Lord's been pleased to teach us, really over the years. I was never one of these, far out fundamentalists that would, give 20 verse invitations trying to get somebody to get saved. Where does that come from? That's not the scriptures. People get saved? Show me where it says that in scripture. No, God saves people. And he gets the glory. And the church truths the Lord's been pleased to teach and maybe to further instill or to underline in some ways. When I grew up as a young man, it was a church that believed church truths. I cut my teeth on the Trail of Blood and Albert Garner's the little black book. I still got it. Doctrines, something. I can't think of it. But then when I got back in church, and it was in a Southern Baptist church, or so-called church anyway, went off to a cemetery, and they made fun of the Trail of Blood, and they made fun of Baptist history, they made fun of church perpetuity and all those things. So I thought, how many person in the world still believes this? I went to the library, and I found out they had a copy of the Trail of Blood, and back then it cost a whole lot more to make copies, but I copied that whole book so I would have it, because I didn't think nobody would publish this anymore. Nobody believes this anymore. Well, later on I found out there was a remnant according to the election of grace. there was still a remnant to believe those things. Well, I didn't know that. Kind of like old Elijah, whatever. It's like, I'm the only one left, Lord. Lord said, Wait a minute. I got 10,000 that have been to need a bailout. You just haven't seen them, haven't found them. So, but God was faithful. The doctrines of grace, church truths, this is what distinguishes us. I understand that. We could be a whole lot bigger. But why? For what? I say those things work for a while. But then you die. And then what? You can use all the man-made methodology and all these gimmicks and psychological warfare, and it works, at least outwardly, for a while. But then you die. All of us. And then what? What did all that mean? What's all that going to get you? I'm thankful the Lord allowed me to understand things and us and by extension, the church and Bible truths. God's preserved his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. As I began to study, there was a time I thought I was smart enough and, I could be correct in the Bible like all those guys do. One of the first sermons I preached, I was teaching about really Romans 8:1, maybe the last part of the verse didn't belong there or whatever, because that's what Scofield said, and, Scofield knows everything, right? No. God knows everything. And God preserved his word. And as I began to study the text issues, and the Lord taught us these things concerning the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic text and God's preservation of his word. Folks say, well, you're just all fuddy-duddy. You think, God dropped down the King James Bible and that's what Paul and the Lord used. No, but I do know this. That God preserved his word. And that the King James Bible is an accurate translation and the only faithful, accurate translation of that preserved word. I do know that. The Lord's been pleased to allow me to understand that, I believe. And I could go on and on. The things that distinguish us, the things that maybe sometimes anger folks, the things that sometimes, chase folks off, can get into the to the holidays, to the sanctity of marriage, and we can just go on and on and on. Personal separation. And again, I don't try to dictate up here and tell everybody what they have to believe and what they have to do, but there's some basics that, you know, that we ought to be agreed to. If we're going to covenant, you have to be agreed to covenant together. That's what it means. A church is a body of baptized believers, scripturally baptized, which means it can't be any sprinkling, you know. It can't be something that was done before the Lord saved that person. It can't be something that was done anything by anything other than a scriptural church. It didn't matter what name was up on the door. There's plenty of churches, say Baptist up there, that just aren't historic Baptists. And they can make folks all kind of wet, but they can't baptize them. And so Jacob reflects on his immediate past, and I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed, which thou hast showed. Not some man, not my mom and my daddy, not my preacher, not my own intellect, but which thou hast showed thy servant. And then again, he reflects on those blessings, where he says, with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. I left here, I didn't have anything but this stick. That's all in the world I had, and I was running for my life. And God abundantly blessed him. And I reflect on these things, and I look, and I feel like Jacob. If you think Jacob was rotten, you don't know me that well. I'm as rotten as Jacob ever was, I'm sure. Or as Saul of Tarsus ever was. But God remains faithful through the years. And I just look back, and you know what? Leaving what I thought would be a career in the Marine Corps. Thankful the Lord got me out of that mess. And the growth and the turmoil at the various seminaries and our frequent moves, you know. But my wife stood with me. You know, if it wasn't for that woman back there and the Lord's hand on her as well, we'd not be here, I'll guarantee you that. And I'm thankful for all the folks the Lord's brought across our paths. You know, folks like Brother Hal is a great encouragement. And he's here because I think he wants to be here. Lord knows I tried to chase him off. When he first started coming here, I was sure every Sunday that was going to be his last Sunday. I'm sure he never heard this before. And he probably hadn't. But if the Lord sends him, you can't shake him. Paul says a couple places. He writes to the Philippians, Philippians 1:3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I thank God for every remembrance of you. But the other folks the Lord's brought across their way, we've had members come and go. And, you know, maybe they were supposed to come and go. Some I still, well, all I still think fondly of and wish the best for. John wrote about sometimes it was good for folks to go. We don't always look at it that way. But John and his second letter, his first letter, 1 John 2:19 said, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." I'm not saying that all those folks weren't Christians. I don't know. I can't look at people's hearts. But they weren't of us. They weren't of like faith and practice. Some of them were. And I'm thankful for all the folks the Lord's brought across our paths. And he brings sometimes some folks to visit with us. And we love to have folks visit with us for as long as they want to. And he brings some folks to stand with us from time to time. He brings some friends. I've had brethren, you know, fellow pastors who we had close fellowship with, and then not so much. But you know what? I thank the Lord for all those things. He used all those things to teach us, to allow us to grow, to bring us along. And so I think back on 33 years, but I think back on eternity, which I really can't with my little pea brain. But, you know, God's faithfulness, God's choice of his people from before the foundation of the world. I thank the Lord for the, you know, we're just a little work. People look at our webpage sometime or see some other things. I mean, they think we're some big thing, but I don't try to make folks think anything other than what we are. But the Lord's given us a ministry. That our internet ministry, I don't know, we were one of the first folks to actually start putting stuff out on the internet. And then Lord gives us the ministry now. We put our sermons up online. We've been putting our sermons up online for years. And then more recently, last year or so, we've been able to broadcast on Facebook Live. And that broadcast doesn't cost us anything. Maintaining our webpage and all costs a little bit, but not much. But the Lord's allowed us to have this ministry. And then I hear from folks all over the world. Folks that the Lord's allowed us to touch, to have a little part in bringing them to see God's truth. You know, I can think of Brother Ellis and my brain's so bad. Brother Kraft. you know, the Lord allowed us to know and to fellowship with them and to have some to point them to some truths that the Lord wanted to teach them. And other folks, you know, I hear from, we hear from. Often I'll hear from some folks say, "Well, I don't know if it's really the case, but, you know, we believe what you believe, but I can't find any place to go to church." And I know that's true. Not that I think I have a corner on truth or that we have a corner on truth. I think, you know, hopefully we continue to grow. The Lord continues to teach us. I don't think by and large, if you look at it from the right perspective, we haven't left anything, but the Lord's taught us more. You know, we added more, you know, to what he's been, he was pleased to allow us to understand and stand for in the past. And so the Lord's been faithful for 33 years. I don't know, this world will be around another 33 years. But by his grace, we'll continue on. I'm pretty sure I won't be around another 33 years as well. But by God's grace, we'll continue on till he shows us that he don't want us to anymore. It might be by calling me home. It might be by something else. I don't know if they'll let me preach over the internet in jail. So who knows? But by his grace, you know, and it's all of him. It's all of grace. And as Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Contemplate that for a while. It's God that did it. And it wasn't because we were worthy. It's because Christ is worthy. And I'm thankful for that. And like I said, I wasn't going to even preach about the church's anniversary, and then I was just going to say a couple words, and I guess that was my couple words for this week. But we'll continue on, Lord willing. We'll continue on in Galatians next week. We'll take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn, number 230, More Like the Master. Number 230. And I hope that's where we're headed, to be more like the Master. You can stand as we sing this closing hymn. Number 230. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can come and meet as your people. Lord, we thank you for this little flock, this church that you've built up, and Lord, for your hand upon us through these past 33 years. Lord, we pray by your grace we might continue on faithful and true. We might not waver, but by your grace, we might grow. Father, we can only come before you as Jacob did and acknowledge that we're not worthy of the very least of any of the mercies that you've poured out upon us, or any of the truth that you've been pleased to reveal to us. Father, it's by your grace and your grace alone. May you ever be magnified, and may we ever magnify you and your sovereignty. Father, I thank you for each one that's here. Thank you, Lord, for the members and the friends, the acquaintances that you brought our way over the years. Thank you, Lord, for the ministries that you've given us. Lord, we know we can accomplish nothing on our own, but we thank you, Lord, that you're pleased to use us in some small way, and perhaps in ways that we'll never know of this side of glory. Lord, but in it all, may you be magnified. May our Savior receive all the glory. Father, I pray for each one that's here. I pray you go with us as we go our way this week. Use us to your glory. May we truly be more like the Master. Lord, we pray for our sister churches, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Lord, to help us to stand in these days in which we live. Pray, Lord, for those that need your healing. Thank you in particular of Heather Lovelace, and that you comfort her and her family. And many others. Pray, Lord, for those that need your comfort. And we thank you, Lord, as we mentioned earlier on in this service, that you've allowed us, those that are yours, to know the two most important things, that you're absolutely sovereign, and that you love your own with an everlasting love. We thank you for our Savior and the atonement that he secured in his death. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.